Chicago. This is your morning routine.
Put some respect on my name.
Cap and J-Hood.
That's right. That's right. We're bad.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app. And on FM 100.3 HD2 and on ESPN 1000 Chicago. Now. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
Bring them out. Bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
Welcome in to the Captain J-Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. We got Shay, we got Jay Moore, we got you for a three-hour ride here on this Back to Work Monday with open phone lines for you. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our telephone number. Cap, we had so much sports over the weekend. I mean, you, at every turn, any sport you're looking for, there was some excitement, there was some interest. But let me start here, because we're going to talk about the Bears in just a moment. I want to ask you this question, though, because the Masters, we knew that the weather would be crappy on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
They were able to rebound on Sunday, which was good, picking up from Saturday, and then it extends right into almost 6:30 last night. There is the one storyline for the Masters was, pretty clearly, live golfers playing with the PGA guys, correct?
Correct.
That was the number one storyline.
Yes.
Who was going to win? Koepka, you know, Rahm, who knew? I did not have a favorite, did not have a dog in the race. What I was just wondering is that for the people that just kind of helicopter into golf, how come Liv does not have like their own Liv shirts? You know, LIV right across the front. So that way you could differentiate the PGA guys from the LIV guys. Everyone just blended in the same. I mean, there is some really hard feelings between the PGA guys and LIV guys, as far as we could tell. Not all of them, but some. So if I'm LIV, I'm like, hey, we're going to be on CBS. We got all this TV time. You're a LIV golfer. So is this like the NWO? You know, like when WCW taking on NWO back in the wrestling in the 90s? A little spray paint right there.
Right.
I'm a LIV guy. Or like a live golf shirt.
Right.
Just to represent where you're from. So because if nothing else, you know what we love in this country? We love conflict. Even in our sports, right? Even if it's faux conflict, we still like the conflict. The idea of a white hat against a black hat. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so clearly the live guys are the black hats in this spot. So, how come there's no shirt? There's no something, a little insignia like, I'm a live guy. Take that. Something like that, right?
So I don't see, the Masters is not a PGA event. People think it is.
Right.
It is not.
Right.
It is the Masters. They own the event. The other events on tour are sanctioned by the PGA, or the live has their own tour. Those dudes were on a plane last night to Australia because they have a tournament this week in Australia.
Crazy.
I was also told by someone who would know, who said, I heard you say the other day you wouldn't be surprised if there was a bounty that if one of the live guys won the event, the Saudis would give them big money. Yeah, I'm hearing it was 20 mil.
There you go.
20 mil.
Yeah.
They didn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
John Rahm ran down Brooks Koepka, who had a bad final 18 holes. And it was a lot of fun to watch. I was at Wrigley. Two phones going with other events. Drive Shay nuts. I loved it. I think the Masters has some type of a dress code.
Mm-hmm.
That you couldn't wear shirts that said, I'm a live guy. Not allowed.
Something like that, though. That way you could tell if you're
everybody
just,
knew.
Well, not everybody. Like, again, sometimes people just watch the majors. You know that, right?
True.
Everyone's not watching the Texaco, you know, Open like you do.
Right.
I'm just saying that there's some that just watch that. I'm a majors golf fan.
Mm-hmm.
That's who I am. So I'm just thinking, like, I'm getting confused on which guys are the live guys and which ones are PGA guys. Now, having said that, Phil Mickelson, who looks great, by the way, he's dropped some weight.
I mean, a lot of weight.
Lefty looks good.
Soda.
But here's it. He's not on soda. He is not. Say it with me now. All I'm telling you, Cap, is that with Phil Mickelson, a live guy, you know, it's funny how CBS didn't talk to him. He's right there in the mix. No interview?
No interview.
Because he's a live guy.
Well,
that's the point.
So he, but they talked to Koepka? He's a live guy?
Yeah, he's on the top, though. He was in the mix.
He and by the way, Amanda Baliones?
Yes.
She's outstanding at her job.
I watched her.
So I watched her this weekend during the rain delay. They had her playing golf with Sean Payton.
Mm-hmm.
It was awesome. She beat Sean Payton.
Yeah.
And interviewed him, you know, very cursory. What's it like going back in the coaching and blah, blah, blah. It was really good. She gets excellent interviews. There's Brooks Koepka. Oh, this is going to be interesting. And he, I thought, was very classy.
Mm-hmm.
When John Rahm won, he hugged him. And what did you tell him? Just, I was proud of him. I was happy for him. It seemed like there isn't the overall dislike for Brooks.
Yeah.
He made a business deal.
Sure.
Phil is the guy who first made the comments about the Saudi government, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Sport washing, the whole thing.
Yes.
They were not going to give Phil that stage, even though he shot career best round at the Masters, 65, finished in second. And he's 52 years of age. Like, there's a lot to discuss there with him. He did his media, like went to the media tent and did all his interviews. But the stage on CBS, no shot.
No Phil. Shay.
Just for Claire, a couple calls. I wasn't aware of this either, but I guess the LIV golfers had the option to wear their team logo on their apparel if they wanted to. It wasn't mandatory, but they had the option to wear their team logo.
Did not know that.
What I'm saying is if I'm LIV, I demand to have myself a LIV golf shirt. To, you know, again, to me, Cap, CBS also dropped the ball on this. I need like a different color on the graphics too. You know,
I thought an asterisk.
Asterisk live.
Live. Or an L. Like on a horse, it says L for Lasix,
yes.
The drug that the horses take.
Yes.
L. Live.
Yes. And Jim Nantz, by the way, if you listen very closely, taking a shot at Live.
He did.
Take a shot. And now they go to the CW. I mean, crosswalk. You're a jerk. You're making fun of that little channel that Liv is on. I caught that, Cap. Don't think it didn't slip past me.
Yeah.
Now they go to the CW. The crosswalk. Stop! Leave him alone! The little Liv just trying to find a deal. And also, this one little thing that we thought was pretty funny from John Rahm, right? So here's the one thing I think we'll always know, is that a lot of athletes, a lot of people are superstitious. Right, especially in sports, right? Remember Turk Wendell from the Cubs?
Yes.
You remember him?
So
was it licorice?
So he became one of my go-to guys in the clubhouse.
Mm-hmm.
He was a big hunter.
Yes.
So he had a necklace of bones or teeth from animals he'd killed.
Mm-hmm.
And this huge necklace. Mm-hmm. And then he would chew black licorice and then brush his teeth between innings.
Yes.
Every inning, he had to salute or wave to the center fielder before he could throw a pitch.
Crazy.
Out of his mind. And then he would keep putting more gum every inning that he was in as a starter.
Mm-hmm.
Another piece. Until his mouth looked like it was, going to blow up. And he was the best guy in the world. Awesome guy to do.
He was Dizzy Gillespie.
But yeah, he was as superstitious as they came.
Just like John Rahm. John Rahm is just trying to win the Masters. And by the way, they found on social media, on Twitter, a little fortune cookie that came from a Chinese restaurant. And it pretty much said that, hey, you know what? Things are going to work out well for you. And John Rahm tweeted out in 2013, I'm going to win the Masters. John Rahm is a little bit superstitious. Here's why.
For those people who believe in jinxing other players, people, and whatever it may be, Thursday morning, when I was getting on the golf cart to get to this putting green 10 minutes before my tee time, I saw a text from a good friend of mine, and I'm going to name him because he is a Super Bowl winning champion, Zach Ertz. He said the text, I'm gonna paraphrase here, but he said, that first green looking like a walk in the park or something like that right now, 10 minutes before I four-putted to start the tournament. So, thank you, Zach. Don't ever do that again, please.
You can understand, right?
He started with a double bogey.
Yeah.
And from that point on, he played 14 under in really tough conditions.
Mm-hmm.
That course is no easy thing to walk. I've been to that event, and I've been blessed to be on that course. It is as hilly and exhausting an experience to play with every the pressure those guys are under every shot. Yeah, that was pretty impressive.
Yeah, it was.
I enjoyed it.
He knew he'd win the Masters, though, because it goes back to that Panda Express fortune cookie. He said it's something along the lines of that your talents will be suitably rewarded. And he says, you know what? I'm going to win the Masters. 2013.
And he did it.
I wonder, did he keep that little fortune cookie? You ever keep those little notes?
I did for a while, and then no.
No?
But I don't eat Chinese food anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So much sodium. Like, I'm getting older. I gotta look out for myself.
Understood.
Blood pressure, the whole deal.
Yes. It's damn tasty, though.
It is.
But then when you get the fortune cookie cap, that's when you know, hey, you know what? This is going to be my lucky day. Some people keep them for a long time.
They do.
But I don't. I pitch them as soon as I see one. Absolutely. The other story about this, by the way, from over the weekend is, you know, we've always had this sports expression of, boy, I don't want this player. I don't want Willie Mays as a Met. Mm-hmm. I don't want a guy toward the end on my team. He can't do it anymore, blah, blah, blah. We see the great Tiger Woods out there, and neither one of us thought that Tiger Woods would, you know, would finish in the top five, top ten in the Masters because, you know, look, he's still going through his injuries. To see him out there, though, Cap, to see him out there just limping around the course, that's enough. He had to withdraw yesterday, and rightfully so.
He couldn't have lasted for 30 holes. He could not have. It's sad. But let's not forget that 2 years ago, was February of 21, I believe, he was in an accident that almost took his life, and they were contemplating removing one leg. And now he's playing, making the cut for the 23rd straight year.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty impressive stuff.
It is. But it just... You don't want to see an athlete like Tiger Woods limping around, having to withdraw. I mean, even today in 2023, knowing that he may or may not be able to win another major, you still want to see him out there, Cap, because he gives you the old memories. Tiger against Phil. That was box office, man. Non-golf fans, people want to see what that was going to look like.
Yeah.
And now you don't get that anymore.
You don't. And I hope he's back there again next year, another year of healing. But look, Phil Mickelson just shot 65 at age 52.
Yes.
Imagine if he'd have won. If he had won that event, oh my goodness.
And representing Liv?
That's my point. Yeah.
That means the screen would have to turn black and white. He gets his own graphic. Liv golfer. That's what I like. I think that should have been a thing for CBS. Yes, I know it's the Masters and you got the little music going. Vern, by the way. Oh man, Vern Lundquist.
Patrick Cantlay at 16.
Vern, you all right, pal? You all right? Holy cow.
Can Patrick Cantlay pick it up just a little? Just a little. My goodness.
It's so fun. All right, so coming up, should we believe everything that we hear about the Bears draft or nothing? Boy, that rumor season is in full swing. You know, the draft's right around the corner. We'll talk about it coming up next on Cap and Jay Hood.
Checkmate 1-6, suppression on target.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Shot or no shot with Captain J Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Good morning and welcome in to the Captain J Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. Now it's time for Shot or No Shot, brought to you by
Hawthorne Race Course and the Club Hawthorne Mobile Wagering App. I actually was on the app on Saturday. Masters was under a rain suspension. Locked in on the Santa Anita Derby. The Wood had a good time playing horses all weekend. And their PointsBet Sportsbook partner for sports. We say good morning to Shay Norland.
Buddy, what am I going to say?
You're going to say good morning, guys. That's the first thing you should say.
He was on the app, locked into the Wood.
Yeah, I heard that, yes.
Good morning, boys. How we doing? Kaplan, Hoodie.
All good, man.
That's the first thing, yes.
All good.
All right, well, let's see what we have for shot or no shot here for Monday morning.
Well, I'll get started with the Bears because Tevin Jenkins went out on Twitter and confirmed, well, all but confirmed, that the Bears will be moving him to left guard after the acquisition of Nate Davis. He started, this guy's going to play three positions in 3 years, starts at right tackle, moves to right guard, has a resurgent year. Now they're going to move him to left guard so Nate Davis can play the right side, suggesting the offensive line left to right will look something like Braxton Jones, Tevin Jenkins, Cody Whitehair, Nate Davis, and a draft pick. Shot or no shot, with the right draft pick, this could be the most improved unit for the Bears.
That is a shot.
With the right draft pick, yes. Yes. Now, if you're telling me that all their offensive line picks are coming in rounds 4, 5, 6, 7, no. If you tell me whoever it is, this kid Darnell Wright from Tennessee just visited the Bears, and he handled Will Anderson very effectively from Alabama, or it's Paris Johnson or Broderick Jones from Georgia, yeah, it has a chance to be a vastly improved unit.
You didn't have Whitehair in that spot, did you?
Center. That's the suggestion. That's another shot or no shot for you. Cody Whitehair is a serviceable center for the Bears.
Two different regimes have tried him and said he can't do it. Now we're going to do it again?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. You had Jenkins, by the way, on the left side in your scenario, right?
Well, that's he went on Twitter yesterday
and confirmed said, that's what he's going to do.
He's going to play left guard. They're going to put the two best run blockers on the team on the left side of the line, Braxton Jones and Tevin Jenkins.
Okay. Tevin Jenkins is the best offensive lineman that the Bears have.
Talent-wise.
Yes. Yes. Hopefully you can get younger and better in that spot and healthier. Nate Davis, to me, seems like a temporary fix.
I mean, they paid him a lot of money.
I understand.
I think he's, what did he get, a 3-year deal?
Yeah.
He's going to be around for a while.
I hope that he can be more than just a serviceable anchor. Why is he leaving? Like, because I thought he's going to be a Titan for a while here. What happened there?
I think they've got some cap issues. And they've got to figure out what they're doing with Derrick Henry going forward.
Mm-hmm.
There's talk he could be on the block at draft time. We'll see.
I mean, they don't have a quarterback. They had a disappointing season. They're probably in a little bit of rebuild mode.
Yeah, there's no question about that. I just was wondering. I just want this offensive line solidified to give Justin enough time to be able to throw. Because this cannot be the Justin Fields show again next year. Can't be. It's got to get better. Shay.
All right, Hody, it's time to talk about your White Sox. They had that easy weekend matchup against the Pittsburgh Pirates, and they cruised. They got one win in the three games. It was a mixed bag for the White Sox. They lost a track meet 13-9 on Friday, won a blowout 11-5 on Saturday, and then lost a pitching duel yesterday, 1-0 on Sunday. The bright side there, Michael Kopech, after getting tagged a bunch by the Giants, looked okay yesterday. 1-0 loss for the White Sox. Only 10 games, but so far, the Sox are having a hard time finding consistency anywhere other than Tim Anderson and Yoan Moncada. Shot or no shot, the Sox optimism of the opening series is gone.
Well, hold on, don't forget Luis Robert's third in the major leagues in OPS.
Had the day off yesterday.
Correct.
I have an MVP ticket on Lou Bob.
That's a very astute bet by you. I gotta see Kopech do it. You know, 6 out of 8 starts, 1 start against the Pirates. Now the Pirates are off to a 6-3 start here. Losing O'Neill Cruz for potentially the season to a broken leg yesterday on the play at the plate.
Yeah, maybe O'Neill Cruz needs to learn how to slide.
That was a terrible slide.
Well, I mean, you know, Pirates fans are blaming Zavala. It's not his fault. O'Neill was in between. He didn't know whether or not he should slide or just run in there or try to run over Zavala. That's not on the catcher.
Correct. And then what they were upset is before Zavala realized he was seriously injured, apparently he, like, what are you doing? And dropped the B word on him.
Yep.
And then Carlos Santana snapped and the bench is emptied.
Mm-hmm.
So.
The B word meaning he's bad. Is that the word?
B.
He called him a bitch. Is that what you
yes,
said? Is that
what
happened?
Yeah.
I beg your pardon.
That's not right.
Well, that's what Cap is reporting. This is what happened. Daniel Greenberg.
I'm not reporting it.
Cap is reporting.
No.
That the Pirates broadcast picked up Zavala. Calling out O'Neill and calling him a bitch. I beg your pardon. Sorry. That's what Cap is reporting.
And then he turned away when he realized, oh, God. I think he
Yeah, man.
He broke his leg.
Yeah. Okay, well, you know, you got to learn how to slide, kid.
Agreed. I did not think Zavala did anything wrong.
And by the way, when you're 4-6 in the first 10 games, it has been it's been brutal with some of the starting pitching that we've seen. Brutal. Lucas Giolito, nothing like a nice 4 innings, 12 hits, 7 runs surrendered.
He was horrible. He was too fat. This year, was he too skinny?
Yeah. Yeah. Another team, he'll be just right.
He might need a fresh start.
Cap, what did I tell you?
You did.
What did I tell you?
You did.
Change some of these popular guys out of here. I'm telling you. I'm not saying that this is who he's going to be for the rest of the season, but the start's not good.
I do like your infield, though. Vaughn is where he belongs. He had another hit yesterday. Yeah. He's just a good, solid player. Andrus, very solid at second.
Sure.
Tim Anderson, stud.
When he's in
and
the
Moncada's
game.
Off to a good start.
Yeah.
Can he stay healthy? I don't know.
It leans no.
Right.
That's a problem. Sebi Zavala on the whole O'Neill Cruz thing.
Yeah, it's kind of a baseball play, and I wasn't too happy about how late the slide was, but I was just talking to Satan about it, and he said something I didn't like, or he didn't like what I said. He said something I didn't like, and that's what happened. Yeah. I think in a couple of days, everybody will forget about it.
Unfortunate that you heard what happened, fractured his ankle.
No, what happened?
Yeah, fracture. It was an ankle fracture.
It's just a baseball play. Didn't want anybody to get hurt. Didn't want it to escalate that far. It escalated, and can't really do anything about it.
What do you think the stomach drop moment is like there? Call a guy a bitch, turn around, and his leg's in 3 spots.
It's the White Sox, man. We don't care.
That's just unfortunate is what it is.
It's the White Sox, because we're playing with Edge. We're breaking legs and losing games. That's who we are. We're the White Sox. Stop.
I just thought it was an awful slide by O'Neill Cruz, who's a highly competitive and exciting young player for the Pirates, 30-30 potential.
Mm-hmm.
And now he may be done for the year, which is sad. But come on, man.
He was in between. He should have slid or did something. Yeah, he didn't know what to do in that spot.
Zavala could have had his knee taken out.
That's correct.
And so he turns and goes, "What are you doing, bitch?" And all of a sudden, oh, God, I think that guy might have just broke his leg.
But
he
see,
turned
that's,
away.
Like
and Carlos Santana went off.
The fair foul, I'm all for smack talk. Calling a guy a bitch, maybe you cross the line a
Careful.
Little bit, but I think it's okay. It's the stomach drop moment of, oh, his leg's in 4 different places now.
We're the Sox. We don't care about that. Move the drill. Next.
Next.
Seriously. We're 4-6. We don't care. Shay, guy's leg's broken. Next.
Talk to the trader. Next. Ditka.
Bring in somebody else. Nah, it's disappointing. But again, it's the first 10 games, but I'm holding them accountable, Cap.
White Sox 4-6, 2.5 back in the division, and they get the Twins today, who are 6-3. Are you nervous?
All the time.
He hates the Twins.
All the time.
Cubs 4-4. In their division.
We can say what we said at the beginning of the season, like the Twins may not be as good this year as they were last, but still it's Sox Twins. You know I'm ready for it.
At least you don't have the Rays. They're 9-0.
Yeah. Yep. All right.
Shay.
All right, two more boys quickly. The Dallas Mavericks did the thing the Bulls refused to do. They tanked their way out of the play-in tournament to guarantee better odds in the draft lottery. This a Dallas team that traded for Kyrie Irving. Basically went all in and then tanked their way out of the play-in so that they could get a better draft pick. Shot or no shot, the Bulls should have done this.
I got to stay consistent. Yes. I would rather have... They're not going to win a championship. I don't think they're going to make a deep playoff run. Do you?
They will not.
Okay. They have to win at Toronto.
That's a win.
On Wednesday. You think they win,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, they do.
Okay. Then they got to go from there and play the next day, I think, somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And then get into a 7-game series with who? Milwaukee?
Milwaukee, yeah.
So.
Gentlemen sweep. So long, everybody.
So long. You called that last year, gentlemen sweep.
That's what it is.
And it was 5 games. It's exactly what you said. We'll give you one. You can have that.
Yeah, pretty much.
Now get out of here.
Yeah.
And that was after Chris Middleton tore his knee up.
Mm-hmm.
So I would rather have had a better percentage chance of keeping our pick. Instead, it's going to go to Orlando most probably.
Orlando's won all the deals with the, involving the Bulls. They've taken care of, I mean, that's the Bulls there. That's what Orlando's building, a young team that's well-coached. But the whole point, though, is no, that's a no shot for me. The Dallas Mavericks is just, that is an abuse of power by that organization.
They're going to get a big fine and a draft pick taken, probably.
Well, I mean, because it's bad business. You bring in a malcontent like Kyrie Irving, and because they didn't win quick enough, we're going to unplug this thing. Well, if I'm a Mavericks season ticket holder this morning, I'm like, yeah, no thanks, Cuban. I don't need to see this. You're not going to win the championship anyway. It's not like Rolando Blackman's getting through that door.
Right.
So just screw it. Seriously. Like, why would I go back there? So you unplug the chances of getting to the playoffs, adding Kyrie Irving, a mercenary, bringing him in, and then you say, nah, this is not working. We're gonna tank out of the playoffs. Oh, really? Because a draft pick is going to be the difference between the Mavericks beating Denver or Golden State or Sacramento in the playoffs, right? Just a draft pick. Stop. You better hope if you're a Mavericks fan that Doncic sticks around. You better hope.
I agree.
Otherwise, it's a waste, Shay.
Yesterday, Hoodie, was not only Masters Sunday, it was also HBO Sunday, which has been the best day of the week for this entire calendar year. Last night's Succession had its third episode of its final season yesterday. I'm not going to give any spoilers, but it is already being hailed as one of the show's best hours, if not one of the best hours ever of television. Immediately after it ended, it was one of those moments. I was firing off texts to multiple people in my phone who had watched it just to talk about it. I just had to talk to people about what I'd seen, and it proved something to me. Week by week viewing will never be beaten. Shot or no shot, week by week is way better than binging.
Who would you say?
I would say that's a shot. I enjoy week by week. I'm just not a big TV watcher. Like, I'm not locked in on Succession. Zero interest. So
why is zero interest? Because
I watch sports.
And
my wife doesn't watch shows with me. She has less than zero interest in any show. We're not that couple that goes, we have our shows together. No.
No, it can't be less than zero. You don't know anything about the show.
I saw some of the first year of it. I didn't find it that compelling, so I jumped off.
It's about our business. I don't know why you wouldn't like it. It's exactly about our business. The underbelly of our business. And that's where I watch, is because you get someone at the top of the food chain that thinks that we're going to invest in these newspapers and these cable channels. It's like, old timer, that's not going to get it done. It's just a cutthroat family. I'm just one episode behind. It's fantastic. Fantastic writing.
Aren't you a Billions guy, Cap?
I do like Billions, but I haven't watched, I didn't even finish last season.
See, but Billions, I've seen a few episodes of Billions. It's not very good to me. Succession is like the better version of that show. I think you would really enjoy it if you gave it a chance.
I just don't have the time or the inclination to do it. I don't. Every night there's a game on. I'm not that guy that's going to sit down and spend my Sunday night watching Succession. I just, zero interest.
Because I grew up on episodic television, week-by-week television, that's never left me. If there's a show that I'm locked into, I'm going to watch it week-by-week. Oh, it's this Sunday? I'll wait until next Sunday. I mean, unless I'm so far behind, it's very possible there's some shows I'm behind, then I will binge. But if it's on time, I'll watch week-by-week episodically the build-up. Because that's what I grew up on. That's how you and I grew up on, watching television.
Correct. We didn't have DVRs back then.
No. So you just watch it week by week. So I've always been a traditionalist that way when it comes to TV.
I've also found if it's really compelling to me, if I'm really entertained by something, I'm going to be there every week. And if I need to catch up, it's usually not because I don't have time. It's because I'm just not that interested. Mm-hmm. And I'll binge something I'm not that interested in. But if it's really got me by the hook, like Succession, I'm watching appointment television. 8 o'clock every Sunday night, I'm watching.
I'll go as far as to say I'm so fanatic about that if it's on Hulu or if it's on Amazon where it's the whole season's there, like I still will wait a week.
So does your wife watch the show with you, Shay?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I was gone for like 3 days doing basketball. Mm-hmm. And I said to my wife, what'd you watch while I was gone? She said, I never turned the TV on in 3 days. Never turned it on.
God.
Damn.
That's amazing. And it's amazing she continues to work by candlelight, too. Doesn't even turn... There's lights on. She didn't even turn them on.
Alexa did.
She's got the candlelight there.
Hey, Alexa, turn on kitchen lights. Bam.
Yes. Yes. Still working by just candlelight, though. 312-332.
Romantic.
Even at work, it's romantic? Really? 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776. Our phone number still to come. Jesse Rogers on the Cubs and Sox and everything else. Major League Baseball at 835. Around the NFL next on Cap and J-Hood.
Welcome back to Cap and J-Hood Experience. Weekdays from 7 to 10 on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Nick Foles sucks. He sucks.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
I love the Green Bay Packers.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
I want winners.
He starts to come and then he pulls out.
This is a really thickly built guy.
I mean, what's the answer you're looking for on these things here?
It's time to go around the National Football League here on ESPN 1000, and we're streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. We have Jesse Rogers on the Cubs and Sox coming your way at 8:35.
Got big news in the Cub world, man. We'll get to it.
Hey, buddy.
But first, here's Shay Norling around the NFL. Shay?
Yeah, kind of an obvious place to start here today, Hoodie. Odell Beckham Jr. In agreement with the Ravens on a one-year contract that is said to include $15 million, capital G, guaranteed. 1 year, $15 million guaranteed, worth up to $18 million with incentives.
All right, so what does this mean? Let's do the breadcrumbs. If Odell Beckham Jr. goes to the Ravens, this means...
Lamar's got to be staying, right?
Well, he ain't coming in there for Tyler Huntley. Or Anthony Brown.
Right.
At least that's what I think.
Unless they've got a trade worked out to go get somebody in the draft, but they're not giving Odell to a rookie QB.
No. I know he wants to get back in the NFL.
Unless it was money. What if no one else was at that level financially for him?
Well, that was my question to you. Do you think he had other suitors besides Baltimore?
Well, he met with the Jets. They didn't have the salary flexibility to be able to get him and Aaron.
So what's that look like, Shay? Is that Duvernay? And who else is on there, that wide receiver? Wallace?
Yeah, we'll have to see how it shakes out. What it means is they have an actual receiver, which has been the complaint, assuming Odell is alive. Last I heard, wasn't it like the Cowboys took one look at his x-rays and said no thank you?
Well, yeah, no. What I was asking is that... Where would he be on the pecking order of wide receivers? Mark Andrews is a solid tight end. I'm just wondering, like, where would he be on the depth chart? Is that a go-to guy, number one guy for them now?
If he's good, I would assume, yeah.
That's brutal.
The rest of the options there aren't great. They need a lot of help in the receiver room. So this is a lot of money to spend. And by the way, the Ravens Twitter account did post a screenshot of Odell Beckham on FaceTime with Lamar Jackson. That was from the official Ravens Twitter account.
Wow. Okay.
Like, if they tag him, they have tagged him. I'm saying if he signs the tag, he gets $32 million, and there's talk he would hold up. He's going to leave that much money on the table.
Brother, can I just tell you something? If Odell Beckham Jr. is one of your go-to guys on this Ravens wide receiver depth chart, then you have a problem. I'm just telling you, like, I mean, this is not the guy that we saw even 5 or 6 years ago. It's Odell Beckham Jr., you know, clinging to a one-year deal. If that's the best you have at wide receiver, I don't care if Lamar Jackson comes back or not. That's a problem.
All right, so updated depth chart. Odell would be the presumptive wide receiver one. They also have Rashad Bateman, who's a good player, and Nelson Agholor, whose most famous moment is that Philly fan saying the fireman caught the baby being thrown out of a window, whereas Agholor would have dropped the baby.
Mm-hmm. Right. Wow. I remember that story, yes. So Rashad Bateman, Odell Beckham Jr., Agholor, okay, Duvernay, Mark Andrews as a tight end. Okay. I'm just saying, like, hope you're not trying to depend on him to give you, like, 2,000 yards, because he's up in age. This is just kind of a roll of the dice, one-year deal with Beckham. We'll see.
And news this morning also, no momentum for Lamar Jackson getting a deal done with the Ravens. Maybe he's just friends with Odell. I think at the end of the day, no matter what, you're not going to convince this guy to play for your team by paying other people. You're going to have to pay him.
You're a mentor. What would you tell Lamar Jackson one-on-one? What advice would you give him?
Let's go hire. If I was like his best friend and he called me and said, dude, let's have breakfast. I got to talk to you. How would you handle this thing? I'm kind of in a tough spot here.
Yeah.
I need to secure the bag for my family, for me. I want to stay in Baltimore, but I feel like they're disrespecting me. We are going to hire Mark Bartlestein, Tom Condon, Drew Rosenhaus, like one of the greats.
What about 84727? What about him?
We could call Steve.
Steve Mandel.
Steve Mandel.
Okay.
He doesn't do football, but he could.
He does stars, though.
He does.
He'd find a way.
Yeah, he would.
Yeah.
So I would say we're going to hire one of these guys, and we're going to let them clean slate, call up John Harbaugh and Eric DaCosta, the GM. Let's get something done here.
Uh-huh.
Okay? He wants to stay. I'm going to handle everything now. If he says, no, I'm doing it myself, dude, you got issues then.
I couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it.
No.
I can't sit across a table and have an employer tell me how much I suck.
I don't know if, like, if, I don't know if they say you suck. They're just telling you why they can't pay you that. And you're not, this isn't a shot at you or Lamar or me. You're not astute enough in the workings of how the contracts are to understand that's bull.
You know, you got that right. I just couldn't do it.
Like, that's what, like, Steve Mandel.
Yeah.
He goes, okay, I get that. Then we're going to do it this way.
Mm-hmm.
There's a way we can make this work for both sides. That's, yeah. They find a way to compromise.
Unlike you and I are turning the table over saying, that's BS.
That's ridiculous.
Right. And walking out.
Can't do it.
Yeah, now you
can't
got someone it. That will negotiate on yours, on your
correct.
Behalf.
I'm going to play golf. Call me. Let me know if it's over.
Seriously?
Yeah, totally agree.
All right, Shay.
All right, boys. Hoodie, I was back home this weekend. I was walking around downtown Detroit.
Yes.
We know this is the site of the 2024 NFL Draft. April 25th will be the first day in 2024. Now, I walked around, and what I didn't know is where they're going to hold the draft. Outside. It's going to be in the heart of downtown Detroit, Campus Martius Park and Hart Plaza. Outdoors in April in Detroit for the NFL draft.
That's a bad idea.
That is a bad idea.
Fox Theater sold out. We got an event going on that day.
I guess it's not big enough. Like they'll get thousands of people down there for the draft outdoors. They got to have some types of contingency plans in place. They can't do this.
Roger. What's up, baby? Hey, man, I got these loose squares. You got what? Got these loose squares right here, man.
Cut that light out over there. Let me show you.
Let me show you something, man. Oh, you don't smoke? How about these watches? What's up, man? Look, man, I got these watches up in here. What's up? This one here is from Judge Mathis. I stole it from him. Wait a minute. This one's from Jalen Rose.
The Bears draft party here that we're going to be intimately involved with at the radio station, I think is like going to be packed.
Yeah.
Thousands.
Outside.
Yes.
That's a tough one. That's a tough. I know what they're trying to do, trying to get as many people in there as possible, but I think a auditorium or theater would be best.
Ford Field is indoor. Put it at Ford Field. You'll get 75,000 people down there. Fill the building. Get floor seating. You can probably pump the number up to 100.
Yeah.
What are they doing?
Remember, we had it right there at Chicago Theater.
Yeah. Much better.
Found a way to get Shay on the committee.
Yes.
And Shay, you needed to consult Detroit about this.
And, of course, we'll be broadcasting live from there next year from Detroit.
Do it
probably
from my
right.
backyard.
When the Bears are picking number one overall again. Hopefully with Carolina's pick.
It's a nice, easy drive. Absolutely. Wow, I'm surprised. I'm glad you... I think you might be the first to report that. Shay, I think you're first to report that since you were walking around. Did they have the bunting and the signage up already for
it? It was just like a big statue said NFL Draft 2024. And I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Let's see where it is. And I figured it was, I said it was going to be, told my dad, probably Fox Theater, Ford Field, maybe. Yeah. Nope, outside, Hart Plaza campus. I couldn't believe it. That,
wow.
Now, I'll tell you, they do outdoor events there, and they're fabulous.
Yeah.
But they typically happen in June or July. Late April, a bit early to be doing outdoor events in Detroit.
Cap, I told you, I have family in Detroit, but they never know when I'm in town. Don't tell them.
Oh, Hood, what's up, man? Heard things going well in the morning show. So good. Hey, man, can I hold 100?
No. I have no money. I'm like you with a fine system. No, I don't have any money.
Nothing.
Yeah, so they don't know when I'm coming in. I heard you were in town. I was just in and out. So long, everybody. Sorry, can't give you a can't wire you 100 to Kellogg, Michigan, or Benton Harbor.
Not happening.
Jesse Rogers will join us talking about the Cubs and Sox. That's next. Cap and Jay Hood weekday mornings at 7.
You're listening to Cap and Jay Hood. Follow the show on Instagram at the Catman and at IGJ Hood. This is ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports.
Captain Jay Hood, weekday mornings at 7 here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Time to talk baseball with Jesse Rogers. And Jesse and his report is brought to you by the fine folks over at...
That would be Power Equipment Direct. Power Equipment Direct brings you the little guy. Hi, Jesse.
Good morning, boys. What's happening? How are we doing?
Jesse is also on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Don't worry, call the CarX man.
There's optimism to my right and pessimism right here talking to you right now with a 4-6 start on the south side. That won't get it done with that starting pitching, Jesse. Won't get it done.
Yeah, it's not exactly the 9-0 Rays, right? Now, Kopech was better. If you asked me the best takeaway of the weekend, it may have been him because they need him, right? They need that electric arm, and his fastball was better. It's still around 95, but it's about what you do with it. Does it have a little zip at the end? You know, some people want him to be pitching at 97, which he did a few years ago. But every 5 days, if you're at 95 averaging, that's not so bad. You can live at 95 as long as you're doing something with it, moving it, changing the visuals of it, you know, upstairs, downstairs, all that stuff, and having a little zip on it. He had that yesterday. So, yeah, they've had three bad starts, terrible starts out of 9 games, right? 10 games, 3 out of 10. But other than that, they played okay baseball. They are 13 for 13 in stolen bases, Jay Hood. They finally got the good start out of Kopech. So I don't know if you could toss away three, but if you do, it's not as bad for the White Sox. But, yeah, they're under 500, and it's not the best of starts.
And yet, Luis Robert is third in the major leagues in OPS. Moncada looks better. I have to see him stay healthy. Andrew Vaughn looks like he's a solid addition at first base. The middle infield, very good. Tim Anderson and Elvis Andrus. And again, this bullpen that they spent a lot of money constructing, Joe Kelly, now Jose Ruiz, he pitches for Arizona after he got DFA. How are they fixing this pen?
Probably with Liam Hendricks, Cap. I mean, until the July trade deadline, there's not a lot you can do. Liam is probably due back within a month or so. That's great news for a lot of reasons, as we know, but it moves everybody down a notch. Think of, let's just say Liam can come back and be Liam. Now Ronaldo Lopez in that live arm is part of the setup crew with Joe Kelly, with Kendall Graveman. Makes a big difference. I don't love their lefty. Some people love Aaron Bummer better than others. I'm, you know, okay on him. But you can survive with those guys if Liam returns as Liam. It sucks you got to rely on a guy that had cancer to be sort of your savior, but it just moves everybody down that notch. And frankly, you know, they had planned for it most of the offseason until this hit. So it's hard to, you know, blame Rick Hahn, but they didn't do a lot after the news about Liam. So that's the only answer I could come up with. Either they get better internally or wait for Liam to come back and everybody moves down a notch.
Before we ask you about the Cubs, we got to get your thoughts about the O'Neill Cruz play at home plate, the collision he had with Zebby Zavala. What did you think of that play?
Yeah, I've been watching like the Zapruder film, and I have a call into the league just to see if there's any fines, or I doubt there'll be any suspensions. I hate to pile on the guy, but you guys, I'm sure, have said this or know that that is not a professional slide. That was a terrible, terrible slide. So the fact that the bench is cleared due to that slide, I understand why Sebi Savala. If you watch it again, look at Savala. He gets twisted as he goes down. He could have been injured as well. You're taught how to slide in Little League. And I was actually thinking about this because I always like watching early in spring training when they run Little League drills just like a 10-year-old team would. They do this at the major league level. But what I don't see is a lot of sliding drills, to be honest. I'm not sure that I see many of those in spring training, and maybe it does need to be reminded because that was a terrible slide. It was late. It was awkward. It injured himself, and it could have injured the catcher as well.
Jesse, you know those moments where you come in the house, kids aren't around, your wife has something sexy on, she says, we're going upstairs. And you go, oh, baby, what a day.
Oh, baby, long gone.
That's right. I feel the same exact way when I picked up the Bob Nightingale column this morning. Did you read it?
I did not read Bob this morning. I usually do, but I hadn't had the chance.
Let me read something to you. Will Shohei Ohtani stay in Southern California? Could he be moving further up the coast to San Francisco or Seattle? It's no secret the Dodgers are saving money to sign him as a free agent. Padres have shown no hesitancy spending with the big boys. Larry Bear, Giants president, had fans chanting his name before their home opener. And speculation grew, and Ohtani sprinted towards Ichiro in Seattle to express his admiration. Mets, Yankees, Phillies, heavy hitters if Ohtani changes his mind. Yet the sleeper in the whole frenzy, several baseball executives predict, the Chicago Cubs. That's the team no one talks about, one AL executive said. I'm telling you. That's the team to watch out for. I can easily see him going there. We'll see what happens, but that's my call. Jesse, I need a cigarette. Holy bleep.
Yeah, I haven't done too much reporting on that. My feeling is that...
Get on it.
No, yeah, I will. But my feeling is that if you're going to pick a sleeper, the Cubs fit the profile. So I wonder how that was put to these executives. Like, you know what I mean? Like, none of those West Coast teams are sleepers. The Pirates aren't going to be making a call. I mean, there's no doubt the Cubs are going to make the call, right? There's no doubt. And if you're going to choose a sleeper, I would choose them as well. But I wouldn't choose them as the favorite. I think we talked about this a couple weeks ago. I wouldn't pick them as a favorite. So if you like them as a sleeper, as the underdog, at least they have a chance. I would agree with that. But I just I got a bad feeling about it, Cap. And there's a bunch of reasons, whether it be Ohtani reasons or the idea that Ricketts would actually pull the trigger. I still have my doubts compared to the other owners that are mentioned in all the conversations about Ohtani. He has not proven to be the Steve Cohn, Peter Seidler type. He just hasn't. So that's why you would consider them a sleeper.
That's a fine. Ohtani.
It's not Ohtani.
I said Ohtani.
Who's Ohtani?
Old Tony doesn't manage here anymore.
Ohtani is Kukoc.
I don't think so. I think that's... I think that's Ohtani. I think that's Tony La Russa, I believe.
Ohtani.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
More with Jesse, we need your top four teams that Ohtani will go to. Top four teams. We'll get to that next on Cap and J-Hood.